Hello, everyone. Welcome to Cancel 38. My name is Macy, and I'm not with Claire today. We are both crazy busy this summer, so it's hard finding time to record together. So this week, we're doing individual episodes again. But we got a thick one, so I'm going to get right into it. Supreme Court has been all over the place with so many different rulings the past few days. It's been super entertaining to watch those unfold and to watch how all the liberals react to it. So I'm going to cover all those, and there's other things I'm also going to cover, including the debate. French politics started blowing up. St. Mary's also pulled another stupid thing. I might get a chance to talk about that at the end. But thick one today, let's get right into it. By the way, yes, my face is red. I laid outside in the sun yesterday, and I didn't realize the UV was like a 10. So ignore that. But let's get right into it. Okay, so there's four rulings I'm going to talk about. I wish I had time to talk about every single one, but I do not have time to sit here for 3 hours. And I'm sure you don't want to listen to that either. So, again, also, I'm not like an expert on any of this stuff. I know I'm a junior in college. I'm not a legal expert, but I do know what I do know, and I'm going to talk about what I do know. So, believe it or not, I actually researched and I know what I talk about. So let's get started. So the Chevron doctrine, this was in Loper Bright Enterprises v. Raimondo. So this was the overturning of a previous 40-year-old ruling involving Chevron deference. So Chevron deference, that was what has allowed for the deep state, as Republicans call it, to grow as much as it has. This is the administrative state, the fourth wing of the government, as some people have called it, all the alphabet agencies, that has grown to an enormous size, not just in physical size, but in its power as well. So Chevron deference, this has been kind of a congressional, delegation of powers to these administrative bureaucracies to interpret the law and, in essence, kind of govern themselves. So that's what this doctrine is. It has granted these agencies the power to, again, interpret everything how they so please and to govern themselves. So that is exactly what is created for such a large administrative state. Again, not just in size, but in physical power. So for example, I first read about this in Senator Mike Lee's book. It's called Our Lost Constitution. Great senator, great book here. But in the first two paragraphs of the first page of his first chapter, really interesting thing here that I think captures the problem with Chevron deference here. So he says, I keep two towers of documents in my Senate office. The first is only a few inches tall. It's a collection of all the legislation passed by Congress in 2013. It contains about 800 pages. The second tower, which is 11 feet tall, is a collection of regulations proposed and adopted by federal agencies in 2013. It contains about 80,000 pages. So that captures Chevron deference right there. Because it should be the other way around. Actually, I mean, it shouldn't even be that way at all. It should be all congressional legislation passed. But again, this is just in 1 year, in 2013. The correct legislation, which is the stack passed by Congress, is only a few inches tall, about 800 pages. Meanwhile, the second tower is 11 feet tall. This is regulations proposed and adopted by the bureaucracies in 2013, is 80,000 pages. So Chevron deference has allowed for that because it has granted all these agencies the power to propose and to pass all of these laws, which is not how our government's supposed to work. That's not how the Constitution was written. So this ruling has completely dismantled that. And this ruling has supposedly, dismantled the deep state, really, with that, with a doctrine that is now overturned. So this is a great win for the Constitution, great win, especially for conservatives. I mean, that's been a huge issue for all of us. But it's been very interesting to see the left's outcry about this because I guess it not only proves how much they hate the Constitution, but it proves that they are very focused on growing the government and how we should all rely on all these experts, as they call them. You know, these are the people who believe all the words of the CDC, who believe all the, you know, crimes and hoaxes of COVID-19 and all the vaccines. So it's been entertaining to see the outcry about it. But again, I mean, this is a win for the Constitution and a win for all of America. I think our founding fathers would be very proud. So I feel like that has been a great ruling. We can finally return to a constitutional America in regards of three agencies and balance power there. Second one. So this is regarding January 6th. This is Fisher v. United States. So this one ruled in favor of January 6th defendants. The courts has ruled that 1512C2 was not used lawfully when prosecuting Trump and all of the over 350 January 6ers. So 1512C2, by the way, is that is a legality that states whoever corruptly otherwise obstructs, influences, or impedes any official proceeding or attempts to do so shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 20 years or both. So it was ruled that this was unlawfully used against Trump and the J6ers. This was an interesting one because actually Justice Jackson, who is widely liberal, she's one of the three on the Supreme Court, she sided with the majority on this. She sided with the January 6th defendants. Meanwhile, a Trump appointee, Justice Amy Coney Barrett, wrote the dissenting opinion siding with liberal Sotomayor and Kagan on this one. So this is definitely a very odd one. I don't know what happened there. I didn't get a chance to read this one as in depth, which is why I won't talk about it too much. But what I do know is that this is definitely a great win for the justice system there, because that is just one example of how it's become so corrupt. I mean, were there some things that happened on January 6th that were wrong? Yeah, probably. But as we're uncovering a lot more details about the story, there's a lot of corruption within that. There's a lot of things that are becoming very evident to the fact that there was not everything that we're told happened did not happen. For example, I mean, the police were just letting people in the front door in videos that we're seeing uncovered. They were handing out baseball bats. So there's a lot of, you know, scandals, I guess, that are coming to light with the situation. So, and of course, you know, with a liberal government right now, they have been using this. I mean, it's been the talking point of every single leftist in the media. They've used this very much in order to prosecute and jail any of their political opponents, not just Trump, but I mean, normal people who happen to be at the Capitol that day. So this is definitely a win because there's been a lot of really corrupt rulings just to jail all these people. Some people didn't even enter the building and they're being sentenced to years in prison. So this is definitely a win. I mean, this will definitely hopefully skew the justice system back to an actual blinded lady justice, not, you know, the eye patch, as Vivek Ramaswamy says. Yeah, so, okay, there was one L I did want to cover in the next one. This is Murthy v. Missouri. So this is all about the government colliding with big tech when it comes to censorship on social media. So this was originally about COVID-19 and social media platforms. They were censoring dissenting opinions on the vaccines online. So this was Facebook, Instagram. They would censor and delete comments or posts of anyone who offered any sort of dissenting opinion against the government at the time, which, I mean, rightfully so, because as we're seeing now, details emerging showing that those people were very much right. But this was concerned around whether the First Amendment was violated with social media companies working with the federal government in removing and censoring content from their platforms. So most people with their head screwed on tie know that this is in fact a violation of the First Amendment. The government, especially working with these platforms to censor dissenting opinions. It'd be one thing if it was just the social media platforms deleting those comments and censoring these people, but for the government to quote coercing or significantly encouraging these companies, that makes it so much deeper and more profound of a case here, because that's even worse. That's even worse of a violation of the First Amendment, because that's the federal government enacting that. So this is all the liberals are saying, like, oh, it's all about like combating misinformation or whatever. Which, I mean, that is the worst enemy to the First Amendment. The First Amendment, it protects the right to free speech, but that is going to come in all different forms. It's going to come in forms of words you don't like. It protects, you know, various opinions and I guess threats, as some people will call them, online. So in reality, we kind of have to be, you know, totalitarian, I guess, with the First Amendment. We have to be radical free speech supporters, because where do you draw the line? You can't really draw the line correctly there anywhere. So I'm definitely a free speech radicalist, I guess, as you call it. Which, I mean, even some conservatives would disagree with me on that. I guess it's maybe one of my hot political takes, but I think that there is no line that we can draw, because if we're going to truly have free speech, then drawing any sort of line is definitely going to undermine that. Now, of course, you're going to face consequences for if you threaten to kill someone, like, obviously, yeah. But again, we can't really draw a line there, because then that wouldn't actually be free speech. By the way, so the court, they ruled in favor of the government working with these platforms to remove or demote particular content from platforms. So that was not a great ruling to see. I was kind of disappointed to see that. However, there was a dissent offered by Alito, I think was the one who wrote this dissent. He says, "The court, however, shirks that duty and thus permits the successful campaign of coercion in this case to stand as an attractive model for future officials who want to control what the people say, hear, and think. That is regrettable. What the officials did in this case was more subtle than the ham-handed censorship found to be unconstitutional in Vulo, but it was no less coercive. And because of the perpetrators' high positions, it was even more dangerous. It was blatantly unconstitutional, and the country may come to regret the court's failure to say so. Officials who read today's decision together with Vulo will get the message. If a coercive campaign is carried out with enough sophistication, it may get by. That is not a message the court should send." Yeah, so that was definitely disappointing to see that opinion. However, I do, as we are kind of seeing a right-wing revolution, as they call it, approach, not just Europe, but the West, which I'll talk about later, I'm hopeful that justice will be served with that specifically. So, okay, and then last one. This is one that just came out today, so I'm glad I'm filming this now and posting this today. This is Monday the 1st. So this is about presidential immunity in Trump v. United States. So this one has rocked all of Twitter today. This has been all of my Instagram and all my Twitter feed all day long. But this one ruled that the president may not be prosecuted for exercising his core constitutional powers, and he is entitled, at a minimum, to a presumptive immunity from prosecution for all his official acts. So this is a blow to Biden and his witch hunt against Trump. Thank the Lord. So this has been all over Twitter. It's been all over Fox News today. This has been a huge ruling. This is 6-3, I believe, ruling in favor of Trump and having this presidential immunity. Good thing that was written in the text that I read here. This is by Thomas. He says, "There's been much discussion about ensuring that a president is not above the law. But as the court explains, the president's immunity from prosecution for his official acts is the law." I think that sums it up right there, because there's a lot of outcry about how, like, this, you know, makes the president above the law. It does not. I'll get more into that in a second. But offering a dissent was Sotomayor in this. And Justice Roberts absolutely dunked on Sotomayor with this one, accusing of the Democrats of fear-mongering on the basis of extreme hypotheticals, which that is very much the Democratic and liberal strategy to this election campaign especially. So, but Mike Lee, again, who wrote the book, I love him. I always immediately run to him to see what he has to say about all this big stuff. But he says, "As for the SCOTUS ruling on immunity supposedly being a threat to our democracy, this argument, one, is paranoid fantasy, and two, ignores the fact that the Constitution itself is in countless respects counter-democratic. That's the whole point of having a Constitution." So this is your daily reminder that we are not a democracy here in the United States. We are a constitutional republic. But so, yeah, the liberal outcry on this has been insane, because this is definitely, this could definitely end all of the witch hunts against Trump, for various political reasons. Because I mean, that's exactly what all these are. It's just the Democrats trying to jail their opponent because that's the only way that they can win. So with that coming out and delegitimizing all of these legal procedures against Trump, of course, the liberals are not happy about this. For example, like, what's his name? Harry J. Sisson or whatever. He's 21. He's a Democrat. He's all over, like, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram. He is a little drone of Biden. And, you know, he's not a smart... Because I will give it to some Democrats. There are some smart Democrats. You know he's not one of those. If he still is backing Biden after his performance at the debate, which I'll talk more about in a second. But for example, he was online calling for he was supporting basically the assassination of Trump, because somewhere in the text, in the dissenting opinion, one of the liberal justices, I think it was Sotomayor, wrote something about an extreme hypothetical where this means that, Biden could call for SEAL Team 6 to be sent on Trump. So no, that does not fall under executive authority. That would be unconstitutional and an unofficial act. And that'd also be murder. So, all these liberals, that Harry guy, they've been freaking out saying that, Biden should use this now to kill Trump. Crazy, crazy stuff. Which I hope people are taking notes as to who's saying this stuff, because some of these people need to be checked out. On Twitter, I tag the FBI whenever I retweeted something that the Harry guy posted. Liberals are freaking out about it. They're saying that, this can make the president above the law. Which again, like I said, it's not. This immunity is the law, as Thomas wrote. So love Thomas. So that is all that Supreme Court has been up to recently. Not all, but those are the main important ones in my eyes. We're definitely going to see more stuff unfold. I think Biden is actually speaking right now about his reaction to all these SCOTUS rulings, especially this one today. And I was going to wait to hear what he had to say about that, but I guarantee it's just some stupid blabbing. Like he always does, which, speaking of, let's talk about the debate. Today's Monday. This is last Thursday. So I'm not even going to get into the substance of their claims or what they talked about. The most important thing that everyone has seen and everyone's been talking about is what this means for Biden. If you've not watched the debate, why? So definitely go do that. But the biggest thing to take away from this debate is Biden is cooked. Somehow during that debate, he was cooked both literally and figuratively, as in things are not looking good for him, but also as in he was definitely on drugs, because the way he was talking, he was wide-eyed at some points, and he also wouldn't blink for hours, and then he started mumbling. He is really, really good at starting one sentence and then finishing it with another, if that makes sense. So that's kind of that's the best way I can summarize how he acted in that. But just look at the videos, look at all the pictures, just the way he was acting, talking. He is so old. And everyone's focused on, him being the candidate for the next election. But I need people to realize this is who is in office right now. This old guy who can't get a single sentence out, can't go on stage without snorting cocaine. This is the guy in charge of our nuclear codes right now. He's the guy in charge of our foreign policy. He's the reason our country is just laughed at right now. We are not, he's a threat to our national security, because we are not feared like we should be at all. So it's embarrassing to have this guy as our president right now. But of course, this does come with ramifications for him being the Democratic nominee for the upcoming election. Because logistically, there's not a world where he would be replaced. Since we're already past the primaries, I really don't see a world where he's not the Democratic nominee, because all the smart Democrats, they're the ones who are online saying, okay, this guy's cooked. We need to replace him. because there really is not a world where he can legally win against Trump. But Biden has said recently that he is staying in the race. Apparently just yesterday he met with family members and they talked about his campaign. And apparently there, they even said he's staying in the race, which the Democrats are freaking out about, and rightfully so. He's not what the Democratic Party would want to have anymore, at least the smart ones. There are some idiots out there who are still backing Biden after his performance, saying, oh, you know, this debate, these 90 minutes don't, you know, properly encapsulate his authority and his capabilities. But again, this is the guy who's been in the Oval Office this entire term. He's been the one who's been running our country into the ground. And the media, I guess, screw them, because they've been the ones who have somehow managed to hide this. They're panicking now because we all see it. We all know that they know. They know that we know that this has been in the works. They've been hiding this. However, we would be too naive to assume that it was accidental, that all of a sudden, out of nowhere, we all saw that he's an old man. I do think that this definitely was planned by media. They're just looking for an out to get this guy out as their Democratic nominee. But now that he's saying that he won't step out, they're all continuing to freak out. So, you know, I want to say I feel bad. I don't think I do. But it is going to be very entertaining to see exactly how all that unfolds. But it's also the Democratic Party, and they play dirty. They play to win. So we have to keep every single eye on them, because I have no idea what's next. I mean, they're getting ready for their plan C, probably, and I don't want to know what that is. But we definitely need to keep an eye on them, because I fear that there's something big coming. I think a lot of people can sense that there's something up their sleeves, and we're nervous as to what that is. So, but then obviously that also begs the question of, okay, so if this guy is as old as he is incapable of completing a sentence. He is old. He gets tired by like 4 p.m. as some source said online. He's not the one running the show, obviously. So then who is? So this whole thing has been so interesting to watch unfold, because I feel like we're watching like a scandal unfold. Like, I feel like there's a lot of things that have been hidden, a lot of secrets are coming out that I'm really excited to see emerge. And we're already seeing some things come out. And one of that is actually his wife, Jill Biden. We are seeing quotes from her claims, even after the debate, just the way that she was rallying. It's like, oh, I think that she's the one who's holding this poor man in and making him go through all this so that she can be the one puppeteering him for what she wants. Yeah, so we're seeing this whole scandal unfold. It's just like elder abuse at this point. So I guess it looks like Jill definitely has a big hand in this. And of course, not only that, but all the unelected bureaucrats, all his teams. There's other people running the show right now, because it's definitely not him. So we need to wait and see who else it is, because I mean, I'm absolutely frightened to find out what it is, but we definitely need to keep all of our eyes open, because there's stuff unfolding, and I'm excited to see what that means. Other than that, it's been kind of a long episode, but yeah, other than that, we actually just had New Hampshire polls open today. They are showing a huge lead for Trump. Okay, actually, I wouldn't say huge. This is just saying Trump 44%, Biden 42%. However, I'm not going to say I trust these polls all the time. I mean, back in 2016, I mean, polls were all saying that, you know, Clinton was going to win, and that didn't happen. So I don't really ever trust the polls. However, the theory that Trump will win New Hampshire would be huge, because this would be the first time a Republican has won New Hampshire in 24 years. So I'm hoping that this is the case. I'm hoping that we can trust this poll. I don't know. I don't even know the logistics behind it. I'm very skeptical of all polls. However, this would be a great hypothetical. So hopefully this one is true and trustworthy. Like I said, Europe is experiencing a right wave right now. French politics. We are watching the right right-wing party win over there in their first primary. I forget what her name is, but Marine something. But she, Marine Le Pen, I think. Anyways, Europe is experiencing a right wave. It's really, really promising to see everyone out there on the climb. And we also, I mean, it was a while ago, but even like Argentina with Milei, like they're gutting their deep state and they've seen their economy and their GDP absolutely skyrocket. So it's really promising to see all the trends that are occurring overseas. And I really do think that that is a precursor to what's going to happen here, at least I hope. But yeah, let's end things on a little bit lighter of a note. Here's a stupid video. Wait, hang on. How do I screen share? Present. Share screen. I'm on. Hang on. Wait, window. X. Share. Okay.
No, Taraji. Now, you know I wouldn't do that. Especially not to a fellow bison. The real HU, you know. So what's on your mind? Oh, Madam VP Harris, I'm worried about the election. Women's reproductive rights are on the line. Our Supreme Court is on the line. Our basic freedoms are being tested, Madam VP. I know you've been traveling across the country. What are you hearing?
Yeah, girl, I'm out here in these streets. You're right, Taraji.
I'm out here in these streets. Our vice president, everyone. Okay, that's all. I've been yapping for more than 30 minutes. Okay. Bye, guys.